News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Rochester. Yes, on January. I don't know why I got May in my mind. I think I want to
hoping for spring.
Yeah, I want to get rid of all this
warm
snow.
Weather.
Yeah, exactly. January 23rd version of Soundbites. And hey, Nick, sorry to hear that you're under the weather. I wound up bringing in my partner Dan Deary here to help us out with the questions, but. You know, we're ready to take your questions right after the news, and I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And we're going to get right into the news, so then we can start getting to your calls, because I know you folks are all into the house, not going out on the roads, because frankly, they stink. They're very slippery, and getting in here was a challenge. Matter of fact, I wound up messing up my wife's car. Which now I'm going to have to get fixed because I put a nice big hole in the front fender trying to get out of the garage. I slid and the shovel came slamming down on it. I didn't realize.
You're supposed to be out shoveling, so the shovel's not even hanging there.
Well, you know how you have all those racks inside the garage and you hang all the tools and all that? Well, it was a long spade shovel and the car slid a little bit, bumped the wheelbarrow, and then bam, down came this spade shovel and put one big hole. But I didn't realize they're fiberglass.
Yeah, when I had my accident last week, there's styrofoam behind the bumper.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, let's get to the news, and Steve, we'll do with you first.
Well, we're seeing a lot of excitement in the Mac world in the end of last week with the shipments of the iPod Shuffle and Mac Mini. We at Jesse Group were expecting ours to come in on Friday. We haven't seen them yet, so we're hoping for Monday.
They're in the mail.
They're being shipped. So we're hoping for Monday, but now with these storms, shipments are probably going to be delayed. Yeah. We may not see anything till Tuesday or Wednesday. But there's been a lot of comparisons on the internet about the $499 Mac Mini against the cheapest PCs you can find. And one of the comparisons was against the $399 Dell Dimension 2400. And, you know, right off the bat, it looks like the Dell's $100 cheaper and comes with a monitor. But according to Dell's website, the monitor's only worth $45. So it's a pretty crappy monitor.
Yeah.
A couple other big things is that the Dell... both the Dell and the Mac come with 256 RAM, but the Dell has an integrated video card on the motherboard and shares your main memory for video. So it takes away your main memory, and shared video is a lot slower. It only comes with a DVD ROM drive, doesn't have FireWire, so you can't hook your DVD camcorder up to it, and also not that an exciting bundle of software, plus only a 90-day warranty. Where the Mac Mini has a dedicated ATI Radeon 9200 video card with dedicated VRAM, comes with a CD writer combo drive so that you can write CDs and watch movies. You can also get a DVD burner as a $100 option, has the FireWire built in for your DV camcorders, has the USB built in for your still cameras, has wireless capabilities. You can add a wireless card very easily, and comes with Apple's really nifty iLife program for music and video editing and still editing, several games, the AppleWorks productivity suite, and a one-year warranty. So even though the Dell appears to be more than $100 cheaper, a lot of the things inside of the Dell are stripped down. And one of the comparisons that people have been making on the net are that Apple has stripped the outside of the box. No monitor, no keyboard, no mouse. You can use the ones you already have, or you can get cheaper ones. Whereas in the PC world, they strip out the inside of the box. Limited RAM, shared video, smaller hard drives.
Yeah, get that quite a bit.
Yeah, and they give you crappy monitors. Yeah.
Well, so how big is the actual unit?
The computer itself is 6.5 inches square and 2 inches tall.
Whoa.
It's smaller than a stack of 5 CDs in their jewel cases.
Wow.
So the carry box comes with a handle. The box it comes in has a little tiny handle on it. It's smaller than a laptop in many cases. So it's interesting to see how small it really is compared against other computers. And we're also starting to see people who've been taking them apart and posting videos on how to take them apart. One of the
already
already, yeah. You need a new tool from Apple, and I've been looking up on the Apple service side too. There's a new tool you need to take it apart. There's no screws in the chassis. There are 15.
Yeah, it's called a 10-pound sludge.
Well, yeah. Well, if you want it to work again after you take it apart, yeah. There's no screws in the Mini holding it together. There's 15 little compression clips that are really annoying to decompress and take out. So the new tool is a modified putty knife with a nice wide blade on it to pull these clips. One of the legitimate criticisms that the Mini does have is there's only one memory slot. And part of that is because it's cheaper to only put one slot in. Everyone wants a cheap Mac, and then they complain about it doesn't have something in it. Well, to put that in, it would make it more expensive. Mm-hmm. So the one memory slot comes stock with 256 RAM, or you can upgrade it do a custom order with a 512 RAM or a 1 gig RAM. It goes to a 1 gig maximum RAM, whereas the Dell we were just talking about only goes to half a gig maximum RAM. But Apple's price for a 1 gig RAM is about double what you could find at other stores. So a lot of people are annoyed that they either have to pay too much, in their opinion, for the Apple RAM, although I like the idea of one warranty point, not having to go back to a memory vendor, being able to upgrade their memory. So it's going to be interesting to see how well the Mini attracts switchers, which is one of its main target markets, because Windows users that already have a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, you don't need to worry about that extra cost. And Mac users who need a second, third, or maybe fourth computer in the house for the kids, so you can get a really cheap computer. Mm-hmm. And most people that have been in the computer industry for a while already have an extra monitor in the basement because they've upgraded to better monitors along the way.
Yep.
So it's for $499, you're getting almost a top-of-the-line Mac with the same software bundle that their professional models have. So it's all the same software and all the same hardware on the inside. You just add your own peripherals on the outside.
Flat panels you can get for like $350 now, 17-inch flat.
Yeah, panel. A decent 17-inch flat panel you can get for under $200. But if you're looking for cheap, you can get a decent 17-inch CRT for under $100. I don't know if I'd go all the way down to the $45 one Dell is offering. How big are those pixels?
Yeah.
So it's and then the iPod Mini is double the capacity at half the price of competing flash drives. $99 for a 512 meg flash, and people are lining up around the blocks at the stores that have finally gotten some of them in. So it's looks to be a real big success.
Sounds good. Okay, let's move on to the PC side of the world and take it over to my partner Dan Deary.
All right, Firefox is continuing gains against IE, which is no surprise.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which is a good thing. A company who studies web, they do web analysis. They're called Web Side Story. That's a cool name for a company.
Yeah.
Internet site.
Get the side story.
Yeah, but Firefox has gained 0.88 percentage points in the past 2 months from beginning of December to mid-January. They did the study. And IE has actually declined 96.7% usage.
We need a big, huge applause on that one. Yeah, really.
Yeah. All right. Yay! There we go.
He's right on top of it.
We've talked on past shows that one of the problems with doing browser reports is that Firefox and Mozilla and the other browsers can mimic IE, so websites let them in.
Yep.
So IE is dropping fast, plus all the browsers that say they're IE mean that IE is even lower than it looks like.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the way they did it, they embedded sensors in major websites like the Walt Disney website, Best Buy, and so on, so they could tell what people were using. And another nice fact is that 8 million downloads were downloaded of Firefox just with the test version.
Yeah.
Now they're up to 19 million.
Yes.
with the release of that. So that's definitely a good thing.
Yes, definitely. Get folks off of IE. Anything else there? Or?
Yeah, we have another interesting story here. A man was arrested. The Spanish police have arrested a man of suspecting creating a Trojan horse virus that is capable of secretly recording internet users through their webcams.
Uh-oh.
Yep. This man is 37 years old. He's a computer programmer. And he has created this Trojan horse, and he can also install a keystroke logger on the system's computer, on the user's computer, to track their passwords and all that stuff. So they got him, and the police are saying that it's a highly sophisticated virus. And as far as they know now, no virus, antivirus companies have come out with solutions yet to get rid of it, but they're working on it.
Yeah. With quite a world out there.
Yeah, pretty scary Trojan horse.
Yeah, with the popularity of webcams and video chatting now, it's you know, you never know when your camera might turn itself on because of a security hole in Windows.
Well, the other thing though is Roadrunner just announced that they're doing now this live video email.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you know, more and more folks that want to take advantage of that and get, you know, these cameras, and all of a sudden if it gets out and turns on the camera and you don't know it. Whoa.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, really. Okay, over on the same side of the story there, folks, as far as worms. There's one out there right now that you got to be aware of that it's a worm as posing as an appeal for the tsunami aid. There, you know, you get this email and it says, we need your help now. We need you. The attachment labeled, you know, you've got to look at this attachment and open it to get to the link and everything else for the tsunami aid. And it literally just puts a Trojan on your machine and then broadcasts it out to everybody else. And it's fake. So, I mean, you know, if you want to donate or anything else, you know, and helping folks out, call somebody. You know, I mean, these emails and everything else, even on, you know, a tragedy like this, you've got your idiots out there that want to try to prey on the poor folks and take advantage of them.
Yeah, that's been a problem for years. The American Cancer Society is the good place that takes money for cancer research. Was it the American Cancer Foundation is the scam that says they're going to do it but aren't?
And right on the heels of that, there's another worm masquerading as an anti-porn tool. And basically what it tells you to do is download this tool because they suspect that you have porn on your machine. And to help get rid of it, you better, you know, wind up taking this utility and running it. And it will get rid of all this porn because, you know, a lot of folks right now are very scared that if they do, you know, if they had child porn on their machine and get caught, they're going to jail.
And you get a lot of these bogus pop-up windows that say, you're infected, you've got this,
yeah,
you've got
trying
that.
To scare. Then when you click on them, it actually puts the stuff on them.
Some of them just want to sell you something, and those ones aren't too bad, but they look like real messages, so you have to be careful about
them. Well, this one will install a worm, which then mails itself to the people on your email list and opens a backdoor for hackers to gain access to the computer compromised. And an infected machine then takes place. The worm communicates back to the point of origin. In other words, where the worm, you know, got infected from. And it says, hey, we got one that's live and is infected. On the better side, folks, there's another great utility out there right now. Google took them over, and it's called Pascal, or Picasa. Picasa is literally a tool that you can use to organize all your photos. I've been using it, and now they've got version 2 out there. So if you go to PC World and do a search on Picasa, it's a great photo tool, and they've added some more features. And the other key thing is it's free. You can literally put, you know, notations on your photos and star the ones that are your favorites and organize them in different photos, and it's really a great tool. The other thing is Intel is now... Intel is now announcing that they're going to come out with 3 new notebooks, which have better technology as far as graphics and getting onto the internet in the mobile world, because that's becoming more and more popular with folks, you know, being able to take their notebook and literally go to these cafes or even their car place to get their car repaired and be on the internet and to check their emails and everything else. Well, we got to take a quick break here for Joan to do the news and let you know what's going on out there, because you're staying home and listening to us and then getting ready for the game later on. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with much more, folks.
Know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes, indeed. This is Soundbites. And again, I want to say, hope you're feeling better, Nick. when he called me, he was a hurting puppy. You could tell by his voice, and he was not in too good a shape. Anyways, I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And our board operator there, we got to train him to say his
I'm
name.
Supposed to talk?
Yeah, you're supposed to say
I wasn't sure. Oh, Corey here.
Corey, we forgot to tell you that.
Oh,
usually when
no.
we do a round table there, you can jump right in there and say your name because you keep us up and running and everything else.
Alrighty.
A couple other things, though. You and I were talking about something here just for a minute ago, Steve, and I think we should mention it to some of our folks because we've both been fielding a lot of email about this, and you have a life.
Yeah. As most many of you may know, we record the show so that we can put it up on the website so people can listen to the show later if they can't listen to it live. Sometimes it needs editing. Sometimes I have to do a little tweaking to it before I can put it up. And sometimes you know my real life intrudes, so yeah. I may not have it up by 1 o'clock. You know, so
yeah,
don't email us. I'll get it up as soon as I can.
Yeah, we know you want it. So with that, I'll tell you what.
Go back to one of the old shows. We got 3 years now, or almost 4 years now.
Yeah, quite a few out there.
Listen to some of the old ones, and
they're still as good.
It's kind of interesting hearing how the questions have changed over the years too.
Yeah, really. So, speaking of questions, why don't we go right to the phones, and we'll go to Bob in Greece. Bob, how can we help you?
Hello.
Hello there, sir. Staying warm?
Yeah, we're trying. No day for a fast ferry drive. let me add my condolences to Nick. I hope he recovers real soon. I'm just getting over it myself, and it's not fun.
It's nasty.
I'm calling about a problem I've got with SpyBot that I just downloaded a couple weeks ago. Let me preface it by saying I'm running Windows 98 SE. I've got Zone Alarm, Norton Antivirus, AdAware, SpamPal. trying to keep everything safe and running. When I downloaded SpyBot, I went through and did a search, and there was a bunch of things that came up that were on my computer, and I got rid of them. And I've done that a couple times since then. But ever since I've done it, when I'm navigating on the internet, I keep getting error messages from SpyBot. It says SpyBot S&D reports that you want to download different programs. One's DoubleClick, one's Avenue A Inc. And I believe these are something that's in my computer that's trying to link back up that SpyBot took out.
One thing, right. though, Bob, with SpyBot, and a lot of folks don't realize this, is when you do, you check for the downloads, mm-hmm. and you do those. There's an immunization button over
right.
on the left-hand side.
Right.
And you got to click on that, and that takes you to another window. And that lists all the new ones that have to be added to the list. And there's a green plus sign up at the top of the screen, top right, or top left, rather. And you got to click on that plus sign to add it to the list so it knows to keep those, like the add click and what, some of those other
things. Yeah, double click is a advertising program that downloads on your computer and displays ads on your computer. So SpyBot removes that as spyware. The next time you try to go to a website that has DoubleClick on it, DoubleClick tries to download again. So SpyBot is working, telling you that an advertising program is trying to get on your computer and I'm going to stop it.
Okay, so it's acting as a firewall then?
It's blocking it.
No, a firewall is a specific function to prevent crackers from logging into your computer through the internet. SpyBot is an anti-spy program that stops spyware from downloading and running on your computer. You need both, but they do different things.
Okay, I see. But how do I get rid of these annoying messages? I'll get three or four...
Stop going to those websites that try to download spyware.
The biggest problem I have is on the eBay.
Yeah, eBay is advertiser-driven, so you're going to get those messages.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a preference in SpyBot to just block it and don't warn me that you're blocking it.
And are you using Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
Stop using Internet
yeah.
Explorer. That also
really?
Allows the spyware to come through.
Go to
okay.
Firefox and, Thunderbird for the email.
Yep. You can download those two programs right off Mozilla.com.
Okay. .org.
Great, I'll try it.
Alrighty.
Okay.
So basically, SpyBot's doing what it's supposed to do, and you're noticing there is so much spyware on the internet that you're getting caught by it all the time.
Well, that's where Dan and I now, between the two of us, we're constantly either putting Netscape or Firefox and Thunderbird on the machines just to get rid of IE. And it eliminates a lot of the problems. I mean, Microsoft has already said, well, we're going to put in a junk mail feature in the next version of Outlook Express. They don't say when it's coming out, but, oh, gee, Netscape and Thunderbird already have that built into it. So, you know, why wait when you can have it now? And it, oh, by the way, it's free. So let's go to Kurt in Pittsburgh. How you doing, Kurt?
Hi, great show. I have Firefox, and it seems to be foxy. It worked fine for a long time, and now I don't get an address bar. You know, the bar where you can go to another website or get the green arrow.
That's a preference. You can turn off any of those toolbars at the top of the window.
Well, how can I...
Wait a minute. Dan's pulling it up right now because my trusty partner here has it right on his machine.
Right?
And he's going to try pulling it up and see if we can get that up for you.
What happens is at the very... While Dan's trying to find the exact place. At the very left edge of all your toolbars, you've got the button bar, the favorites bar, the address bar. There's a little tiny black arrow.
Yeah.
And if you accidentally click that little black arrow, it hides the toolbar. If you find that little black arrow and click it again, it will show the toolbar. But there's also a menu command somewhere to show those toolbars and address bars.
I think if you right-click right on the toolbar at the top there, there's a customize.
Where am I? Am I in Firefox?
Yeah, when you open up Firefox, right at the top with the buttons and everything, you can right-click on there, and there's a customize button in there.
I right-click.
Right.
And it says customized,
And then you can choose what buttons and what toolbars you want displayed.
Okay. I see something.
Okay, tell you what.
You're looking for the one that says address bar,
I think. Try playing around with that, and if you still have an issue, give us a buzz back. But right now we're going to move on to the next caller, and we'll try Cindy in Fairport. How you doing, Cindy? Cindy, are you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
I thought maybe you got frozen out.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, how can we help you?
Well, I used to use MSN as my homepage.
Software in the background.
Unless you pay for the commercial versions, then it updates automatically.
So, you know, you want to definitely get the updates and run that, okay?
First thing I should do is to find Adware and Spybot on the internet.
Yeah, just go to our webpage.
Security, okay. SecurityTango.com.
And go on the right-hand side, there's the link to the SecurityTango.com or .org.
.com.
And on the left-hand side, then you'll see a button that says Let's Dance. And
you want to
dance.
We're going to dance the security tango.
Dance the tango. So you'll scroll down because if your antivirus software is already up to date, you don't have to worry about the stinger. Just go down and download and install on your machine both Adware and Spybot. And in both programs, it has a feature to check for updates. Matter of fact, if you email me, tell you what, send it to D. Enright.
G as in girl?
D as in David.
Oh, D. Enright.
D. Enright at enrightpc.com.
Okay.
My lovely wife did up this step-by-step procedure on how to go and both do the updates and run Adware and Spybot, and I'll email that to you, okay?
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
We're in the process of updating the Security Tango page, and Nick has a life, and now he's sick and hasn't been able to do that. What you might be able to do first is you can go to Tools, Internet Options, and set a new homepage. But a lot of these homepage hijackers will reset it back or won't let you change the homepage away. So you have to run the Tango to get rid of the problems first.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to answer questions from Rick, Ron, and William waiting on the line. So hold on, folks, and we'll get back to you as soon as we get back from this short commercial break. Thanks.
Make no mistake, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good almost afternoon. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
Apparently I can talk in this show. This is
you
Corey.
You got it! And your name, but you got to say your name.
Corey.
All right, thank you, Corey.
That's not the faceless guy pushing the buttons.
Yeah, you know, they always
We give credit to the guys. Just so you know, Corey, we always pick on Rob when he's here, too. And you know, get in there and jump us because you're the one that keeps us in control, keep us on the air. And one of our callers, Rick from Fairport. Rick, how can we help you, sir?
Hey, how's everything?
Great.
I got a question here. I run ABG antivirus program, and it's run a complete test, and I always do the security tango. And it came up here that I have a virus identified, and it's called Java/Byte Verify, and it says it's infected, and I cannot remove it. Do you have any idea what that is?
Some viruses embed themselves into a good file, and then you can remove the virus and get your good file back. Other viruses are the whole file is the virus, so there's nothing to remove. You just delete the whole file.
So, and I believe Java, that would be the Sun file?
Java is a programming language from Sun that makes little animations and programs on websites.
Yeah.
So there's several viruses that masquerade as Java.
Okay.
The Java Byte Verify, I believe that's the actual name of the virus, though.
Right. Yeah.
So what it's finding that actual virus, and you can go ahead and delete that when it says delete. If that doesn't work, go ahead and try and clean the file then.
Right.
And so just delete the file?
Yeah, when AVG comes back and says you have a virus, you can say delete. If it can't delete it, it may be because it's in memory and won't let it delete. And
exactly.
You may have to run AVG in safe mode so that it can delete it while it's not running.
Yeah, because it does say infected embedded object.
That's another thing. If AVG gives you the name of the file that's actually infected, you can go ahead and do a search in Windows and actually try and find that file and manually delete it.
What was the name of it again?
Java/Byte Verify.
Yeah, we can also go to the AVG website and the different security websites to get manual remove instructions. But basically, that's pretty much what happens. If it's running, you have to run it in safe mode to delete it.
Or just go to run a search and delete it that way also, and then go back and run AVG.
Run it again just to be safe. Yep.
And if it gives you a problem of not wanting to, you know, it's saying it can't because it's in memory, since you're running Windows 98 on your startup.
No. Okay.
While you're running, if you know the file location, what folder it's in, since you're running Windows 98, you can start. You keep hitting the F8 key. One of the options is to command prompt. And you can go to a command prompt, work your way into that directory, find that file, and delete it from there before it actually gets loaded in Windows.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys.
You're quite welcome. One thing I got to say, my partner Dan here this week had the honor, and Sherry, of breaking a record of the most spyware on a machine.
Did you break my record?
Between Dan and Sherry, they from a very good friend of mine, and I said that I wouldn't mention at least their last name, but her name is Sandy. And Sandy had this issue with her kids and the computer and wound up with 4,046 pieces of spyware and 180 viruses, was it?
Yep.
Off of one machine.
Yep. I've got over 5,000 on one computer, and then they said, go ahead and wipe it. Don't bother trying to clean it anymore.
Well, Dan and I were sitting there going through and kept totaling it up because of each user. Of course, there's multiple users. But just on the first one alone, we were over $2,000.
Yep.
And just the spyware and tools, you know, removing that, it totaled up to the 4,046, which right now Dan and Sherry hold the record. They beat me on that one because of the spyware.
Spyware, yep. Horrible.
Yep. All right, we'll be right back, folks. We got to take a short break for all the news and let you know the closings and everything else that's going on out there. So, you know, we want to keep you safe. You can stay right inside. You know, they got the football games on later on this afternoon. We're still on for another hour. And no reason to go out. You know, stay in where it's warm and safe. And just listen to the questions. If you've got a question, I think we still might have a line open. So you can give us a buzz, you know, and... maybe work you through your computer problems. Again, Nick, hope you're feeling a little bit better. You know, stay safe and warm. And thank you. I got to thank his wife, though. She took the time to bring her coffee. So.
We're out of time.
Talk to you later, folks, on the other side of the news. And lovely Joan Brandenburg is going to fill you in on all this stuff. Talk to you later. Bye.
you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Nick is down and out of the weather. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
And Corey.
On the board.
Yes, I'm
yes.
Here.
All right, we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment here. But turns out back, when did we do this? Back in January.
It's still January.
January 1st. Young lady emailed us through the Squirrel Mail account, and I happened to answer it, and we also answered it on the phone. Well, you know, we stepped up to the plate, but this young lady said that she made the best lemon meringue and apple pie. You know what? Because it's Sundays, we don't see the food laying around here as much as we used to on Saturdays. I mean, the Sophia guys there, they used to bring us in Danish and everything else. But
if they left any for us.
Well, no, no, Steve was very good about always making sure that he saved us Danish and everything else, but we don't get it as much. So, let's see. This lady's name was Bonnie.
A nice
Bonnie.
Warm apple pie would be good. Not that you have to bring it in.
But. No, she can just bring it. She can drop it off the shop, and I'll get it.
Yep.
But I mean, some food would be great. The vending machines.
Yeah.
Yeah. They Tasty. Are not very nutritious. Liz Bonus wouldn't want us to say that, you know, that'd be high on her list. So we aren't, you know, beneath accepting food for bribes, especially on a Sunday. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we got Ron in Rochester. Ron, how can we help you, sir?
Oh, good morning, guys.
Good afternoon.
How Sorry to hear about Nick. I hope he's taking his medicine okay.
Yeah. I'm sure with Elaine, she's keeping it, you know, him on his toes.
Yeah. I'm running Windows 98 SE. I also have DSL Frontier. I'm running Netscape for my emailer. Recently, my Netscape, when I try to open up a attachment, like a pic, somebody sends me a picture or something like that, I get the thing crashes, and I get an error message reading, Netscape has performed an invalid page under module shell 32.dll. I have no idea what that means or how I can get rid of it or what.
What version of Netscape is it?
My address book, and I have no way, I can't copy that because I was going to delete the whole thing and then reinstall it. I tried reinstalling over the top of Netscape, and the error message still shows up.
What, like Dan was saying, what version of Netscape is it?
4.76.
There's a couple of...
That's an old.
That's pretty old. I think there was a 4.77, the last of the
four. Yeah,
fours.
But they're up to 7.2.
7.2 now.
Yeah. There's two possible problems, something corrupt in your identity folder or something corrupt in Netscape itself.
I tried downloading 7.2 and...
let it migrate. Yes, if you download a new version of Netscape, it will migrate all of your old identities into the new version.
Because if I remember, 4.6 didn't have an issue of moving to 7.2.
Right.
But 4.7 did, didn't it?
Yes, correct.
So, yeah,
maybe
you might be safe to...
They might have fixed the migration problem with 4.77.
Well, I like the 4.76 because I can control the background and everything. In 7.1, I haven't been able to do that.
Well, in 7.2, you can do that. They have skins chooser if you like doing that. You can download those. And
plus, it's got junk mail control now in the email.
Yeah. So you think it's something in the identity?
It's either the identities or Netscape itself. The easiest thing to try first is make a new identity. And use your same email information in the new identity and see if the problem follows in the new identity. If it does, then it's a Netscape program issue. If it doesn't, it was an identity issue.
So if it's a Netscape program, the best thing to do would be delete it and download it.
Well, you can't just delete it. You have to uninstall Netscape that it removes all of the pieces of Netscape that it can.
But how do I copy my address book? Because I have no...
It will import that when
it
you...
It will... if you go to a new version, it will import. If you if you open an identity... I would not import any of the old mail first, old mail or old address books, and see if the new identity works fine.
Uh-huh.
If it does work, then you can try importing your address book from the old identity, and then if that works, you can try importing the mail from the old identity.
Okay, is there a way to copy the address book and print it out? I've been trying to find a way to print it out.
No.
Only from within Netscape. You would have to open your address book and say print. You can copy the address
book. But you got to do one at a time.
Yeah. You can copy the address book file with no problem. Just go to the identities folder and copy the address book file.
And that's usually buried, though. With Windows 98, you got to go into...
application support data. It's in a
under program.
Yeah,
you
under...
First go under programs. What is it? Common...
You have to find your identity folder.
Yeah.
Application data.
Okay.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
So it's hiding in an invisible folder.
It goes down deep.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. All right, our next caller is Mike in Webster. How are you doing, Mike?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
thanks
sir.
Thanks for taking the call, and if the lemon pie shows up, I'd be happy to show up also. quick question for you. I ended up with, I installed Norton, SystemsWorks 2005. After doing this, a day later, all of a sudden, I ended up with a virus called Trojan.Quost. After three phone calls to Symantec, it's finally cleared up. But also, the day that the virus showed up, I then lost the ability to access Windows Update. I get an error message, and the last four digits are 424 or something like that. So I start communicating with Microsoft, and they had me try a number of things. None of them work. And the last one is I now have to, let me read it here. Set your CD-ROM as a first priority boot device, and then do a repair using that CD-ROM.
That's possible, yeah. What was the name of the virus again?
Trojan.Quost, spelled Q-H-O-S-T-S.
Oh, Q-host.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing you can try is on Microsoft's website, you can, under their support, you can actually type in that error code, because I've dealt with this where it won't go to the Windows Update sites.
Right,
and they have different solutions on there. I know once I had to install some extra scripts to get it to run again because the Q-host virus could have messed around with those scripts.
I've done that.
You have done
that? And that particular error, they don't list. So I've ended up emailing. There's probably about six emails back and forth. With a number of things they've asked me to try, and none of them have worked. So the latest one is, let's take and go back to the original disk, load that in there, and do a repair using that disk.
Before you do that, you can try running the system file checker, and that will try to reinstall any damaged Windows system files.
Have you done the Service Pack 2 update?
No.
Good.
No, I decided that I didn't need that grief at the moment.
You're right on that.
Oh,
one.
Another thing, do you have a firewall installed in your system? Because...
Well, the SystemWorks contains a firewall. The other problem might be that the firewall is set too high.
No, I don't. But I'm running...
Norton SystemWorks includes a firewall.
All right, but I'm not running it.
Okay.
And also, Frontier, who's my source, has a firewall, but I don't know if that's causing a problem.
You use an Easy Armor?
No.
Okay. I know, some of the folks
I didn't know Frontier was offering firewalls yet, just Roadrunner and AOL.
Well, it's part of their master server.
Yeah,
something.
Well, yeah, every ISP has a firewall at their end. You should have a firewall on your computer, too.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like the virus corrupted something inside Windows, and if the system file checker can fix it, that's the easiest way. The next step is to reinstall Windows.
Okay, this is the system file checker that's in the XP.
Right.
Right. And where do I find it?
You got to go to actually a command prompt. You got to go to start run, type CMD, and then that'll open up a DOS window. And you can then type SFC/?.
Wait.
And that'll give you all the commands that you'll have to type to do a full system fix scan on your system.
Yeah, the first one is SFC space.
SF.
System file checker.
C.
Yep.
Space / scan now. One word.
But for the folks that don't know DOS commands and all that, you can, on any DOS command, whether it's Windows XP or anything else, if you do the command, say it was like a trib, you do a space /?, it'll tell you all the variables and that are switches that you can use to do certain functions on.
Brings up the help,
It's a help
page
screen
for the command you're typing.
Okay, the other question, which is the one that they're recommending, just in case I have is a fallback position. How do I make my CD-ROM my first priority boot device?
You got to go into the BIOS. And in the BIOS, one of the screens will have your boot order.
Okay.
And in the boot order, you can then select to have it first go from the CD-ROM. Now, here's the thing. You're going to see repair when you first go to run it off your CD.
Right.
You don't want the first repair. Enter to continue, and then you'll get the F8 to accept the agreement. It's the second time that you'll see after the agreement, you'll see repair again appear on your screen down at the bottom lower edge.
Right.
Select repair then, then what that'll do is install XP over XP
without losing any of your current settings.
Correct.
If that doesn't work, the next step is to remove XP and install a new version.
Yep.
Yeah, great. Okay, gentlemen, I thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And if a lemon pie shows up, I've got four-wheel drive. I could be there.
Okay. All right, next we're going to Ray in Walworth.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
How's the snow out there?
Oh, boy. Well, the roads are closed except for emergency vehicles. So
you get to just stay in, stay warm, listen to us, and we even answer your computer question.
Well, I certainly hope so because my mother makes some very good Italian cookies, and probably make Manny's meringue pie.
Oh, you can drop them off anytime you want my shop, and I'll bring them in here to the guys. You know, we can be bought for food. I won't say that we can't.
You can negotiate. I have a little Sicilian in me, so.
Okay.
So that's the trick in any company is make sure that your IT staff is happy, and they'll fix your computers.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
So all right, how can we help you?
Well, first of all, we're still on dial-up. Out here, and it doesn't seem like I can get anything else. Verizon's not available. Frontier, Roadrunner we're too far off the road, and it would cost a fortune to run the stuff. So we keep getting, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the dial-up, but all of a sudden now we keep getting kicked off of AOL. And I did call, I typed in and talked to the tech, and he said to delete the AOL ACS file, which I did. And it seemed to, for about a couple hours, I was okay. And then all of a sudden, it started kicking me off again. And I don't know why all of a sudden I keep getting kicked off it. And then it'll try to get us back on, and we do get back on. But I don't know what happened.
Ray, how long has this been going on for?
Oh, boy. Probably about 3 weeks.
Have you tried a different access number to AOL?
Yeah, one of the tricks is to change the order of your phone numbers in the AOL setup.
I did that already.
But see, here's the other thing, though.
What?
A sad fact. One, the phone lines around Rochester, that's why we had to go to a different area code, because we have gotten so overwhelmed, with phone numbers.
Yeah, you're dialing a 315 number or a 585 number?
No, I do the 585, and then I put the 1 and dial the area code first, and then the number.
So, in essence, you're dialing a long-distance number, which adds to the complications.
Oh.
Yeah, and see, again, the phone service, they haven't come around and replaced all the copper, throughout the whole city and the counties and everything else, so you're still working over that same copper.
Mm-hmm.
With the weather and everything else, you could be picking up extra static or noise. Because of the smarter modems, they try to do their best as far as the handshaking and everything, talking to the other computer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting to get a lot of moisture and everything else in the lines with the weather that we've been having the past few weeks, that will also, kind of reduce the quality of the phone lines. Just alone at our shop, I was having a heck of a time getting on to, what was it?
Juno.
Yeah. From my shop. So, it was giving us a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be picking up some extra static. Do you hear any extra static in the background when you're on the phone, just talking regularly?
No. No, the phone is fine.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I tried doing the security tangle thing, and it seemed like they told me at one point that when the computer is booting up again, when you restart it, that you have to press restart in standby mode and
safe mode.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I did that and it seemed like I couldn't finish. What happens if you don't finish the whole thing?
You're not completely protected and cleaned.
Yeah. You should be able to run both AdAware and SpyBot in safe mode, and that will really clean everything out.
So when it's just coming on, I'm supposed to press run F8. In safe mode, F8?
Yeah. While your computer is booting up, you keep hitting the F8 key.
Yeah.
Continually, and then you get a black screen.
Right.
And option number 3 is safe mode.
Okay.
And if you go into safe mode and then run SpyBot first, and then
now it'll start up, and then all of a sudden I can just type in and it'll
it looks no, like Windows. your icons will be bigger because it doesn't load any drivers, but it will look just like Windows. So in there, you can click
and,
on.
Right. Then you click on the SpyBot icon and the Adware icon to run those programs.
Okay.
And as far as your internet connection goes, satellite internet is coming down in price quite a bit. It's still about $100 a month, but high-speed satellite internet is an option for people in outlying areas who can't get DSL or cable.
Yeah, DSL might be coming out your way, because I know each week they keep expanding and expanding, you know, their territory, so you might want to try to stay on top of that, too.
Who did you say is coming out?
DSL.
Oh, DSL.
Yeah, DSL has length limits on how far away from the phone switch you can be. Mm-hmm. And you said you're too far off the road for cable to be cost-effectively run.
Well, we have DirecTV.
Well, then you can get satellite internet from them as well. It's about $100 a month if you want to spend that much for high speed.
Yeah, that's kind of expensive.
Well, it's better. I think it was about $300. It was something really outrageous.
Who's your service provider right now? For your phones.
AOL.
No, for your phones.
Oh, for my phone?
Yeah.
I believe it's Verizon.
All right, because you might want to check with them. You know, more and more companies are starting to get into the internet service, you know, download.
And as they run more phone lines and get better lines out, they may be able to reach your house now, too.
Okay. Yeah, because like you say, I know I went through the same ordeal with me, you know, trying to get it through, and they wanted a couple $1,000 to run the cable in, you know, to get for when we were down at the old shop, mm-hmm. to get Roadrunner in there, and it was just going to be too darn expensive, and we said the heck with it. So, all right, well, we got to take a short break for the news, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to talk to Dan, Jim, and Ginny when we come back and see what computer questions are plaguing them. So stay tuned and stay warm.
When you understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Dan Deary.
Corey Moran.
All right. And we're going to get back to you folks. We want to talk about the poll there for a second.
Well, yeah. And I was also going to mention we had mentioned satellite internet just before the break.
Yep. For that one person.
The last couple of times I've looked into it, they have two different plans. $600 installation fee and $50 a month, or no installation fee and $100 a month.
Yeah.
So if you're too far out for DSL or cable high speed, it's possible to get satellite internet. And one of our customers got the satellite internet for their RV, so they can be driving around and someone in the back can be on the internet. So we're starting to see that now in cars for navigation systems, and you need to have internet access for the traffic reporting.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see how
all
far
right,
that
Nick
goes.
Nick put up another poll.
Yeah, we have a new poll this week. Or should we look at last week's poll first? Yeah. Last week's poll, as soon as it comes up, the most recent update that you put on your computer, thanks to Ken for suggesting the poll, we had 378 votes. And
really
the The number one answer was your antivirus software update with 163 votes. Spyware applications with 57, tied with my whole computer was updated, you insensitive Claude, at also 57 votes. OS patches at 56, updates to other programs, 20 votes. Updating your resume, 9 votes. That means most of the people are apparently employed. That's good to hear.
Good thing.
And updates to Internet Explorer, 8 votes, which means that you're not updating Internet Explorer fast enough.
And this week's poll is?
And this week's poll is on wireless networking. We're seeing more and more people get wireless networking, home and office. So the choices are the question is, where do you have your wireless networking? Choices are at home, at work, elsewhere, or I don't have wireless anywhere, you insensitive Claude. Right now, I don't have wireless is winning with 63% of the vote, having it at home at 31%, work at 3%, tied with elsewhere at 3%. And Dave and I both noticed, and one of Nick's problems is there's never enough choices.
Yeah.
Both Dave and I have wireless internet at work and home, so that might have been a nice options.
And then we'd like to tell you, after you vote on the poll there, if you would, just below that, you'll see a little yellow thing that says takes you to Nick's website, which is asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And I'll leave it an opinion. You know, try to keep it to the subject matter. I mean, some folks tend to go off on tangents, and that's what we have the forums for. If you've got other things that you want to talk about, and that, again, you can, on our website, we've got a great group of folks there for the forums. Log in there. You can post questions, get answers, get in on some of the other crazy stuff that's going on. We've got a great group of folks out there. So check it out. And, you know, because from our website, we lead you many other places. And let's, with that, go back to the phones and see if we can help out Dan and Marion. Dan, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how can we help you?
One thing about the previous lady, Verizon has updated a lot of their lines out here in Wayne County to fiber. I know that. They did that several years ago.
Okay.
But I'm really having a problem with Norton Antivirus 2005. Ever since I applied the last critical updates to XP a week and a half ago, every morning, I'd say between 6 and 7, something disables the Norton Auto Protect. It happens every day between 6 and 7.
Dan, one question for you. Are you on Service Pack 2?
I have never. When I go into the updates, it looks like some of the Service Pack 2 were listed, but I never updated knowingly to Service Pack 2.
Okay.
One way to check is right-click on My Computer and choose Properties, and it will tell you whether you're at XP, Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2. Yeah. One of the features in Service Pack 2 is the Windows Security Manager. And it warns you if it doesn't know about your antivirus program or your firewall. And oddly enough, the Windows Security Manager doesn't seem to know much about having antivirus installed.
Well, the thing of it is, too, with the Service Pack 2, it tries to install so much security stuff in there that it causes issues.
Hey, Mike, say, is it to go to Properties or?
Yeah. Right-click on My Computer, choose Properties, and it will tell you what version of Windows you're running. With the... turning itself off about the same time every day, do you have it set to scan at that time?
No.
Do you have anything else under scheduled tasks? If you go into the control panel and then under scheduled tasks, you can look at what's running at what times?
Nothing running at that time. SP1, Service Pack 1.
Service Pack 1, okay. Do you remember which update you did?
It was the ones that came through a week and a half ago. It was the same time when they forced down the antivirus tool. It was something about icons.
Okay. Because if you knew what number, you can try uninstalling it and see if... generally, I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
But
you may also,
just to test it.
You may also want to try uninstalling.
Somebody else on the forum has emailed me in private that he's having the same problem.
You may also want to try uninstalling Norton and reinstalling Norton.
That is a virtual nightmare.
It's very hard to do. You may need to... a new update to Norton to fix problems that the Windows update might have caused.
For that.
Yeah, I do live update almost daily.
Okay.
We have been having so many problems right now with Norton, all the versions of 2004 and 2005. Getting them in and installed the first time without having to reboot at least 4 to 5 times and checking for updates. You know, it's ridiculous. You just can't put the product
that
in.
Little message comes up. Please run live update again to make sure you have all the updates.
Yeah, and you
why don't you get them all the first time?
That's reboot the system.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing against Norton. You know, it's a good antivirus program. But, I mean, we install McAfee at our shop. That's what we sell. And I think Dan will attest to me. We have not had one issue installing McAfee on a machine fresh and had to do multiple updates. Norton has been such a big headache for us that it doesn't even, from out of the box, install correctly. So, you know, I mean...
they don't update their retail CDs often enough so that it's always an old version in the box.
You may just have to wait till Norton comes out with that, update to that.
That or another update to Windows to fix that update.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I said...
I know it's a pain in the butt for you, but, you know, I'm sorry. I wish there was a simpler answer.
I've checked all the event viewer, you know, scheduled tasks.
Well, I just say, you know, stay tuned, see if you still have that same problem and give us a call back next week.
Okay, I'm going to have to try to uninstall and reinstall.
That's something to try if it'll
work.
But
be honest with you, though, Dan, I wouldn't jump the gun right yet uninstalling Norton. It is not an easy task. Trust me. It is not as simple as it says because it doesn't get itself out of there like it should. We've experienced this, and it's a nightmare. So if you can, live with it a little bit and see if any more updates. You know, the next update should be coming out this coming Wednesday is usually when they update. You know, most of the updates are published both for McAfee and Norton. So see if that comes out and fixes it. Then you might want to consider. It's only a few days away. All right, let's go to our next caller, and that's going to be Jim in Irondequoit. Hello, Jim. How can we help you?
Good. How are you today?
Great.
I have a question that's very similar to a question that you you had answered before the break, but I was in my car and I didn't hear the entire answer. It's in regards to
bringing us food.
Well,
yeah, you can drop that off anytime you want. My shop is at 70 Empire Boulevard, and we can be bought for food.
Well, that's funny you should say that because actually I'm Sicilian and my wife bakes cookies.
Woo-hoo!
Every weekend, so that
will
be a possibility.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I think it has to do with a virus with the homepage. I just purchased a brand new computer, and it was running for about 24 hours, and I've got a spyware that changed my home, homepage was not accessible on Internet Explorer. I found this strange icon that appeared on my desktop. And I wasn't able to access the homepage, and I ran the spyware, and they found like 260 things, and it said that it was going to shut down the computer. I ran Norton and the whole bit. It found adware threats that it couldn't delete or fix. What happened was I ran SpyBot and adware and Norton probably three or four times each, and it finally got. I think it fixed the problem because I was finally able to access my homepage, but mm-hmm. It was very similar to the problem that you were explaining.
Yeah, you've got to run
I'm sorry. My question is when I do run Norton Antivirus, there's about six or seven adware threats that it says it is not able to fix. They're not a virus, but they're threats.
Don't worry about those.
Okay, so it's not really harming my machine, and I guess then I cleaned it out because the problem was solved. That I am able to access my homepage.
One thing for folks out there with Norton, mm-hmm. and anybody that's running a Norton antivirus, do me a favor. Mm-hmm. It'll do you a big favor. Is if you go into options and under email.
Options under what? I'm sorry.
Under the email.
Okay.
And change it from to, by default, it wants to quarantine things.
Uh-huh.
Tell it to delete them.
Okay.
If it can't clean them, delete them.
Yeah, a lot of viruses, there's nothing to fix. The entire file is a virus. The only thing you can do is delete it.
Because the key thing is, I don't care if you know it's something important or not. Because if it's infected, you don't want it on your machine anyways. And quarantine isn't going to do squat.
Okay.
You go ahead, have it delete it, and you just notify that person, hey, you're infected with a virus.
May not have been them, though, with all the virus spoofing.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, try sending it to me again.
A lot of times what we see with programs like that is the quarantine. The intent of quarantine is that a future antivirus update will be able to fix that problem.
No.
But as we've said, the whole file is a virus. There's nothing to fix.
Yep. One thing I was going to say, too, sometimes what I've run into with Norton is it scans for that spyware and the adware also. But when you run the SpyBot and adware, sometimes it will create quarantined files, and Norton will pick that up thinking that it's still spyware on your system.
Okay.
So the spyware patterns that the other programs are looking for.
Yep.
Okay. You know, it's strange because I spent all this money on a brand new machine. I had it for 24 hours. It's like driving a car and wrecking mm-hmm. it the first weekend that you have it.
Yeah, Windows. It comes with spyware built into it.
Well, you only got to be on the internet for a couple of minutes, and you can get spyware on your machine.
Because even though you went through, I had the zone alarm, I have a router, I have all the programs that you suggest, and mm-hmm. it still got in. Got through.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the issues is that the programs we suggest are all the free versions that will scan after the fact.
Okay.
If you pay for the commercial versions, it will prevent the things from coming in the first place.
But are those more beneficial than a router? And
they all, you need all
you
the
need
pieces.
It all.
Each
need
piece
it all.
Does something different.
As a matter of fact, for you folks out there in the listening area, I'm hoping the first Sunday or the second Sunday in February to have the VP of Adaware on our show and talk about Adaware.
Wow, terrific. Well,
so,
you guys are so...
Put, mark it on your calendar. It's going to most likely be the first or second Sunday in February to have the vice president of Adaware on our show. And we can tell, he can more or less let us know what's on the horizon and everything else about that great product. Okay, Jim, you stay warm, and you can drop cookies off anytime. Okay, let's go to Ginny in Pittsburgh. Ginny, how can we help you, young lady?
Good morning. You braved the weather and came in.
Yeah.
I have a question. It's not a serious matter. It's more of a curiosity as to why. On January 15th, I installed the Microsoft Critical Update and Security Update, and I'm running Windows XP Professional about 10 months old. And ever since I downloaded it, I don't get a welcome screen anymore. And yep. I've gone in everywhere. It's all checked and set up in the options. And no matter what I try or what I do, comes on and says welcome and immediately goes to the desktop.
I've seen that. My little sister... she complained about that on her laptop, and I played around with it. They must have seen that as a security issue, Microsoft, and changed something in there. Because I could not find the registry setting that changed it.
Generally speaking, you want to see the welcome screen to force you to log in to make sure the person has privileges on that computer.
Correct.
There's a hidden program, because it's usually the other way around. People want to auto-log in. If you go to Start Run and type Set Space... What is
S-E-T?
It?
S-E-T?
Yep.
S-E-T-S-A-F-E?
No, set and a space.
Oh, the set and the space.
User passwords 2, all one word, I think it is.
User password 2.
Let me see if I can find it. And that will bring up a hidden control panel that you usually can't find normally.
Okay.
And allow you to choose whether you want to automatically log in or to manually have to log in to Windows.
Okay. And is the 2 a number or a
number, yes.
Pardon?
Yes. A number.
A number. Okay. Set, then a space, user password 2.
Right.
Under run. Okay, I'll try it.
User password?
I think it is, yeah. I'm going to find the exact syntax and we'll say it in a few minutes.
We'll
as
post
as I find it,
and you can find it later on the board, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you all very much.
You're quite welcome, Jenny. Thank you for calling. Okay, we'll go to Jeff in Greece next. Jeff, how can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm setting up two PCs together so they can both use DSL, and I'm using a router. One of the PCs works fine. The other one, which I just upgraded to Windows XP, the upgrade version, that does not recognize the Ethernet, actually. So I followed through some connections, and it says DNS server unreachable.
There have been a lot of issues on the internet recently with DNS upgrades to the new IP version 6 standard. A lot of times, if you just wait a few seconds and click it again, it will come back and give you that website again.
What I can't do is get the connection to AOL from DSL through this computer.
Are you getting a light on the router that's showing that port you're plugged into?
One thing that I chased it to following the prompts... It brought me to Windows IP configuration, and it says Ethernet adapter, local area connection, and it's pretty much all blank except for a couple of zeros.
It should be, are you running AOL high speed or you're running AOL through DSL?
AOL through DSL.
Then your TCP configuration should be set to automatically receive address.
Automatically received.
Right,
okay.
So you shouldn't
under
the network properties. So you shouldn't see any numbers in there. It should be set to automatic. If you want to see what your current IP address is, you can right click on that network icon in your network neighborhood or not
and
network
show
neighborhood
it to you.
Network places.
Yeah.
And right click and choose status, and it will tell you what your current address is.
Thank you. But it sounds like that's not the problem.
You can try changing under network properties also for client from Microsoft Networks.
Mm-hmm.
Change that property, see if that will lease out an IP address to that computer then.
All right.
Now, because your computer, if you remove the router, do you have a LAN router or just the DSL router? How many boxes does it go through before it gets to your computer?
One.
So that's just the DSL router.
Yes. And I know it works because it works on the other computer.
Yeah, there's some misconfiguration in the...
Now, does your DSL modem go into a router?
Yes.
Well, then you have two boxes. You have the DSL router and your network router.
Yes.
Okay. One other thing you might want to try doing, because you said the other one gets on no problem?
Correct.
All right. If you go to our website, there is a utility that we have listed under. I heard this on your show. It's called WinIP Fix.
Okay.
And it's a little utility. You can put it on your desktop since you did it, you know, you did this upgrade. What you might want to do is try putting that icon on your desktop. And what it does is it corrects in the registry the WinSock 2 settings. So if you run that utility, you know, you put it on your desktop and run that utility, it'll try patching and fixing the TCP/IP connections.
Oh, good.
And, you know, it'll have you restart and see if it'll get you an address there.
Very good.
Now, okay. If your computer can't see the DSL, then you're not going to be able to get anywhere.
Right. So try that and see if that fixes it for you.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Going back to that other caller.
Yeah, for Ginny from Pittsburgh, the correct syntax is control space user passwords 2. User passwords 2 as one word.
Yeah.
And then you can uncheck user must enter a password or check user must enter a password to get into Windows.
Okay. Let's go to Tim in Buffalo. Tim, how you doing?
Great. Good show, guys.
Thank you.
You'll be happy to hear that I one less copy of ME in the world.
Yeah!
I have upgraded to a less than Microsoft authorized version of XP.
All right.
It's not an old computer. It wasn't worth it. It's my daughter's computer. And to get it to network with the other computers, I had called about a month ago with a problem trying to get it to network to the other computers. Well, everything's working, print sharing, the file sharing, it's all working. But this computer had a secondary hard drive on it that we had backed up some stuff to. But, and when I upgraded, or I didn't upgrade, we completely put, wiped out the hard drive and put a fresh install on.
Mm-hmm.
It will not see the D drive. If you go into disk management, it sees it and sees it's 40% full, and it sees it's got a file system of FAT32 versus the NTFS of the new version of the primary hard drive. But when you go under Windows Explorer or My Computer, it does not see the drive.
Is this drive connected to the same IDE card as the first drive, or is it on a different card?
It could be connected.
Yeah, but the disk manager is seeing it. That's the problem. It's disk manager within tools is seeing it.
I was thinking about the drivers for the IDE card.
That's not... Oh, I know
that's
I've
weird.
Seen... Yeah, well, I've seen this issue before that a drive isn't showing up, but it was with CD-ROM drives.
Yeah, it shows this... If you go drive D, it shows the CD-ROM drive. It's not even... That's what letter it gave the CD-ROM.
Yeah.
As a D.
But
that might be a part of the issue. Check your drive lettering and see if it's what does it say? Set specific letter or let Windows choose. If you set your CD drive to D, the hard drive needs to be D. The first hard drive is C, the second hard drive is D.
Hard drives always have to be the first letters.
Right. So if your CD is manually set to drive D and not EF or automatic.
We changed the CD-ROM to F.
Mm-hmm.
And the second hard drive.
And then restarted the computer to see if it would recognize it, and it's still not there. But under disk management, it sees it, and we kind of spent a couple hours with it yesterday, and it's like,
did you say you have data on this disk?
Yeah, not critical stuff. I mean, it was just stuff I dragged over there before we, wiped the primary hard drive out. Right.
Okay, yeah, because sometimes you have to, I've seen that where it doesn't see it because you have to format the actual drive.
What about,
drive.
Now it's the second drive, resetting the, not the master boot record, what's the other thing you reset?
You can format that. You can do a non-destructive format to get that to be a NTFS. And if you go to start run CMD and you type convert space D colon space forward slash, I think it's FT colon NTFS. It'll, well, as a matter of fact,
you might
want
to do that slash question mark.
Yeah, slash question mark. That will then, what it'll do is when you, but you got to give it the convert D. So it knows that the D drive out there, which is now FAT32, what it'll do is when you reboot, it'll convert it to NTFS FAT. It'll have to go through a bunch of stages, but it will convert it to NTFS FAT and see if it does it that way. Otherwise, you're just going to have to, you know, format the drive right there in disk manager.
Try Google search for can't see second hard drive. I'm finding some hits and some suggestions to try before reformatting.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the best we can do, and that kind of wraps up this week's show. Thank you. I want to thank all the folks for, you know, calling in with their great questions. Again, thank Corey there on the board, keeping us straight and narrow. My partner Dan Deary for coming in, and of course Steve Ray and all of you folks. You have a safe and good weekend, and just stay in, enjoy it, because the weather is kind of crappy out there. So we'll see you folks next Sunday, same bat channel, and see you later. Bye.
This is Kitty Van Boy.